Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with life coach Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, July the 5th, 2019. It's 4 p.m. in New York, 1 p.m. in Los Angeles, 9 p.m. in London, and 6 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. That would make it 5 a.m. in Tokyo. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy that Linda's back this week. We missed her last week, and she's able to rejoin us again in the normal time slot. So that's good news. That all by itself makes my weekend. My weekend is now complete.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And I like the pendant you're wearing today. Have I seen that one before?
Probably. It has different crystals in it and organite. It's got like copper and metals.
Okay. All right. Oh, it looks nice on you. Very nice. That's kind of a reminder, too, by the way. You know, this isn't just a podcast. We also live stream this when we're doing the recording. So, you know, if you are interested in watching us while we're recording it, drop by the YouTube page sometime. In fact, you can also subscribe there. Maybe I'll just do the announcements here. Let's do the announcements at this point, okay? So, first things first, if you're not yet a subscriber, become a subscriber. Go to loatoday.net to do that. And once you have subscribed, of course, make sure that you share the fact with your fellow potential listeners, I should say, and then to watch us as we are recording the live stream or even to watch the replay of the live stream, just go to YouTube and do a search for LOA Today podcast videos, and you will see a subscribe link and a little bell to click that will give you the opportunity to be notified every time that we are starting to do a show. So that's how you do it. That's how you get notified. That's how you subscribe. That's how you get to watch us. That's how you get to listen. Please do all of those things because we love every one of you listeners. And Linda, you were commenting before that you were getting a little noise as we're starting out. I'm getting a little noise too. So this may be just another example of the high energy that we bring to this show. It's a Friday show. Now, I don't know what this is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We never have this Friday. It just, the energy starts to take off. We get all this funny stuff happening. So it's got to be high energy. I don't know what else to call it.
Are you referring to the lag? Like we're having a bad internet connection or something.
Yeah, there's a little bit of lag on part of it here. I'm not sure exactly where the lag is, but yeah, I was noticing that it took you a while to hear what I was saying. But I was also talking about there's a little bit of noise. There's like a little bit of a subtle echoey background noise going on, and I'm not sure what that's all about. But it's just par for the course is what I'm saying. That's what happens with Fridays. Fridays are the ones where we have these little things happen.
I just unplugged my microphone. We'll see if that makes a difference.
Okay.
But you were completely in and out. Like I really didn't catch much. So I don't know what that's all about.
Very interesting. I don't know what that's about either. Well, hopefully everybody else did. Otherwise, we may have to record that part of the podcast all over again. Fortunately, it looks like we're back in sync, so that's the main thing. So let's go to the top and start all over again. How you doing? How's it going at the New Jersey end of things?
Actually, I'm in New York.
You're in New York.
I go back and forth between my home is in New York, a half an hour from my dojo in New Jersey.
Ah, okay.
Right back and forth over the border all the time. I'm just shutting down programs on my end. I don't know if it's contributing to anything, but what the heck. Nice. Hey. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll take my YouTube down too. Yeah, I just won't see the. Well, let's see what happens. I can always go off of that in case it's streaming it in two places might be causing some trouble.
That could happen. Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, it looks like everything's kind of settling down. So maybe it'll just stay in that settle down mode, and we will be good. Good to go. So I don't know where I got the idea that you lived in New Jersey as well as having the dojo in New Jersey. I completely missed the fact that you were in New York. So apologies about that.
I'm in New York. So when I do work online, I'm usually doing it from New York, and in-person sessions I'm doing from New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then at least I have some reason to understand why I was confused. That's okay.
Well, actually, a lot of times on Friday I was doing in-person sessions and having to come back to make it on time for the show. Maybe
That could be. Yeah.
New York to get to the show.
Yeah. Well, that could do it too. Well, no matter what, it doesn't matter. The main thing is you're here and we're loving having you back. And that's the best part of all. So, I can't honestly say that I have a topic in mind for today, but I figured we'll just start. And every time that we do that, a topic emerges. So I'm not worry too much about that. What I will do is I'll tell you, and I'll tell our listeners too, I have been hoping that we would get the first episode of The Grass is Greener out within the next few days. That actually didn't work out. There was a little bit of a glitch. We kind of overlooked recording three of the pages of the script, and so we're having to reschedule that. That will happen toward the end of next week. And then in the meantime, we're going to be editing together what we do have. So hopefully it won't be too much of a delay after that. But I'm still hopeful that we're going to hit our overall goal of being out with the first episode by the middle of July. It's just, it's a little bit tighter now. It's a tighter schedule, but that's okay. We'll deal with that. The good news is that I've been able to, and all of us involved in the podcast, myself, Alex, our cast members, PJ, our director, we've all been, first of all, enjoying doing the recordings. They've been a lot of fun. And second of all, we've been kind of rolling with the punches. I mean, there have been things that have happened. I mean, we weren't really sure what happened with, the recordings for those first three pages. I don't think we've still figured out exactly what happened, but what we did learn is we have to record them because we don't have them right now. And it wasn't a big deal. And I attribute that to just staying in high vibration. The more that we stay in high vibration, the easier it is to navigate the choppy waters.
Maybe it's just perfect, because maybe after having done all the other parts to the show, what you didn't record will be so much better now, having gone through the other parts.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, that, especially when you're dealing with actors, because actors, of course, as they're developing a character, the character gets better and better over time. You know, so now that we've been through other pieces of the script, at least, for the main characters that are involved in these three pages, yeah, I think that it's going to be a well-developed character for those pages. And they're key pages because they're right at the beginning of the story. So what better time to have the characters come in strong than at the beginning of the story, right?
Right.
Yeah. So should be good stuff. I've been going through, and I know PJ and Alex have been going through as well, the various clips that we put together, recording, because we did in scenes and clips, takes, and going through the takes and selecting which ones were the ones that we'd want to use, and in some cases maybe doing some patches from other takes and so forth. But it's fascinating to go back and just listen to them. I mean, some of them we recorded a week and a half ago, and to hear it from a different perspective, because at the time, of course, you're in the middle of it, and we're developing this brand new way of doing a podcast without, I mean, it's not like none of us have professional equipment. We're using, you know, computers and Zoom and, you know, that kind of thing. And so actually trying to make it like sound like good stuff using that kind of equipment is a challenge. So when you're in the middle of trying to do it, it is a challenge. But as I look back, it's like, wow, we actually did pretty good. I mean, I'm listening to some of the takes. Yeah, there are a few glitches in there. Nothing we can't patch. And for the most part, it came out really good. So it's encouraging is what I'm saying.
And also, you're splicing it together after the fact, so you could probably do some things to reduce the background noise. And you know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like iMovie, it really does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So it's the same basic concept. So I'm encouraged, and I'm excited. And I mean, the only thing that's, you know, slight discouragement is I have to wait a little bit before I find out what happened in the first three pages. But other than that, it's good. So I see you got your cards in your hand. That usually means you have something. Which deck did you decide to pull on this time?
I'm going with the – I love this deck. So we're going to do the Energy Oracle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just asking, you know, what is it that whoever's will be listening to this podcast, what is it in the energy field that, you know, needs to be heard or addressed in some way? So that's just all that I'm kind of asking.
Okay.
And just we'll see. I was waiting to see if anyone would fall, if the card would fall out, which it didn't happen. So I'll just cut the deck, and we'll take what we get.
By the way, anyone who's tuned into the live stream, if you got anything you want us to address too, whether it be a question or something that comes up on the cards, feel free to type something in, and we'll include it. Oh no, we have a broken heart. What happened?
We have a broken heart. So I don't know what that's going to be. I was waiting to see if. Is it going to flip to me or no? Yeah, or do you only have it with you? Is it on speaker?
Well, I'm seeing the image of the heart for sure. I'm not sure why it's not flipping over, but.
You're seeing me in the little tiny picture, right? Not in the big picture?
No, I see you in the big picture.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't know if people were seeing the card, but I guess everybody got to see it.
I think so. I think we're okay.
It must be something in my settings that I did. Oh, it's on gallery view, speaker view, whatever. Okay. So number 9. Yeah. I don't know. This is a little weird today. Anyway.
So I tell you, it's the energy. We have a higher level of energy on the Friday show. That's all there is to it.
I'm switching my view. All right, so we're doing broken heart in the upright position, and it's grief and loss.
Ooh.
Okay, so it says this card shows a heart broken open, revealing darkness, emptiness, and a grief-filled tear. The hurt may be from long ago, or it may be the pain from a more recent event. Either way, a deep healing is called for now. Vent your feelings and release the person or situation involved. Affirm that you are reclaiming your power and peace of mind. Open your heart to the light of divine love and healing and have compassion for yourself through this difficult process. Make self-care a priority now. As you let go of old experiences, you can open your heart to the true and abiding love that you so rightly deserve. It doesn't have to be romantic love. This could even just be self-love. And the opening up and letting the darkness out, you know, like this really, we have been going through a lot of purging, as I always talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really stepping into new beginnings. And the only way you really have those new beginnings is when you look at the stuff that comes up. Because a lot of times, for a lot of people, stuff will come up and it's uncomfortable and they just don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Push it away, push it away, push it away. But really, you want to go into it. I mean, whether it's a physical pain or an emotional pain, the only way to get through it is to go into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then see what's there. Look at it. A lot of times you'll see, well, you know, that's an old story. I mean, that's like years ago. I think I've dealt with that, but maybe you've always just pushed it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just want to sit with it, own it, forgive anyone involved in it. Release judgment concerning however something unfolded, and especially if it's regarding you, your own self-care, things you've done where you didn't honor yourself, maybe where you didn't stand up for yourself, maybe when you put everybody else first and didn't take care of you, and so now you're like, maybe you're feeling broken. You know, it's like, who am I? A lot of people are there. They're like, well, I don't even know who I am. I've been giving myself to everybody else. I don't even know what I want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
This could be what the energy of this card is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Some, maybe it is an actual broken heart and healing from that. And again, the best way to heal it is not to hold grudges and resentment. It's to really just, you know, honor the both of you for the good times, and just release any judgment from you really don't want to hold that energy, because you're just going to take it with you into the next relationship. I mean, that's why we repeat patterns, right?
No matter what. Oh, yeah.
You know, matter if it's a pattern of some sort of lack, you know, unless you actually really look at it and start to go inside and realize that you are deserving and that this is an abundant universe. You'll just keep repeating that same pattern, right?
Yeah, Abraham talks about that. They talk about how if you don't change your perspective, if you don't pivot to something new, if you just keep going back to the same thing over and over again, even if you leave a relationship, even if you leave a job that isn't working, even if you leave whatever it is that isn't working, you're just taking yourself with you, and it's going to keep recurring over and over again until you finally address it. So that's absolutely spot on.
Yeah, always. Yeah. And really, you can usually look back, like, you know, not when you're in it, 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, you look back and you're like, oh my God, it's so obvious now.
Isn't that strange?
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what happens. You do look back and you say, why was it so difficult? It looks so easy from here.
Yeah, like, that's the least of my worries. Look what I'm
doing.
Yeah. but then that's a good thing too, because it makes you think, all right, so I'm not going to do what I did back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into it. I'm going to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
That guy on the road, well, you know, maybe there's a reason, you know, that person's in pain or anguish, doesn't even know what they're doing. Let's just send them love, right?
Absolutely.
It heals everything. This whole thing with awakening, it's all about awakening to love, awakening to our own truth, to the power that comes through that energy of love and compassion. Whether it's not holding judgment with someone else, loving yourself, loving those people who you kind of felt like you hated, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me wonder too, because you have mentioned a number of times the idea of just putting out there to somebody who you feel like you need it when you're passing them. Maybe you're walking on the street, maybe you're driving in a car, you're just out and about, and you just see somebody who looks like they could use a little help, and so you just kind of send some love their way, and which I think is a great idea. I love it. And I wonder how many of our podcast listeners have tried doing that. I don't know what the answer is to that. I can't say, well, I happened to do a survey and the survey said, I really have no idea, but I would kind of imagine some of them have been doing it. And I keep imagining what happens when more and more people do that. What happens when more and more people just kind of put out love to, they see somebody, it doesn't have to even be anybody they know, just putting out something to somebody just because they look like they could use it.
The more that happens, the more things just solve themselves. Mm. The easier as a collective we ascend into what's next for us, which is living through peace, love, and joy. No more struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey's notes over there.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey was talking about how he was not able to see you either. So that's when I went to the split screen. Oh, okay. And he can see the split screen. And then he also indicated that he could only hear you, but now he's saying everything's okay. So that basically technical issues is what he was talking about.
Yeah, because I didn't see me whenever I was talking, unless I was on a split screen.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. So for whatever reason, it looks like it's all frozen on me. So I figured, well, if I show a split screen, that way we'll all be able to see everybody. So that works.
Right.
So that's another example of not letting stuff worry me, right? I could have, you know, a year ago, I could have started freaking out over that.
Yeah.
And I was. I mean, there were a number of times people who've been listening for a while will know that, particularly not this past winter, but the winter before, I was running into a lot of issues with sound quality and with just general ability to record the podcast. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse until finally I realized that I was driving them. I was causing them to happen with my focus. And I changed my focus to just, first of all, not trying to solve problems because I was so problem-oriented that more problems started coming my way. So I let go of all that and decided, you know what? I can't solve these things. It's not up to me to solve these things. You know, I hire Zoom to do these things, or at that time I think it was BlueJeans. You know, I'll let them take care of it. And I'll let the universe take care of it. I'll just kind of release and let go and see what happens. And, you know, sure enough, everything just kind of ironed itself out after that. All the problems went away just because I took away my negative angst.
Yeah, and you know what? I did pull out the Sonia Choquette's Trust My Vibes.
Oh, okay.
In a little bit. And I think it was the last time we were together, I shared that video clip of Sonia Choquette with the angel that follows around.
Did you right, awesome? Right, yeah.
So, I've been doing this a lot this week, especially my son was lost some paperwork for a trailer he needs to register or something.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, listen, call the runner angels. Call on the runner angels. So I like did it for him. And we've been finding this stuff. I call the runner angels whenever I can't find something.
Okay.
And it's like I searched everywhere and all the logical places. I'm like, all right, hold on, wait a second. I'm just going to call on the runners. Call on the runners. Half an hour later, I get this thought. I go look in this one spot that I've already checked, and there it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool. That's great, though, because what that means is that you are your what do you call them? Your runners? Your angel runners? Your runners are basically they're not just running. They're helping you to see stuff that was already there that you couldn't see, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because I was listening to David Wilcock book. I was listening to his another book of his today. And it's really cool because he talks about, you know, all this cosmic disclosure and aliens and the proof of all these different things, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't state everything. If you want to know more about that kind of stuff, and this has to do with the awakening, and that we do have this help out there that's guiding us and really that we are to come to this energy of love more and more. And that's what heals everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to just pull up the books here, because the first book that you, if you want to read any of this stuff, is The Ascension Mysteries. The Ascension Mysteries. Get it on audio. It's like a 14-hour book by David
Wilcock. Wow. Okay.
David Wilcock, W-I-L-C-O-C-K, David. You know, he's got The Gaia Show, Cosmic Disclosures. He's on Ancient Aliens. He's been working on this stuff for a long time. And he talks to, you know, people like Corey Good. Some of the listeners, I think, have heard of Corey Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all really cool, interesting stuff. And so, yeah, if the quicker we evolve into this energy of love where people are helping each other and not killing each other.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, there is a difference in that globally going on. There is actually, even though the news wants to make you think it's prevalent everywhere.
Oh, of course. That's how they sell advertising. Of course.
We are moving into a more loving place. People on the street help each other left and right. You know, I mean, you see it.
One of the things that Abraham talks about a lot is the idea of contrast, and that we end up focusing our attention on many things that we don't like, that we don't prefer, that doesn't make us feel good, and so on and so forth. And eventually we recognize and realize that we need to start focusing on what it is that we do like, what it is that we do prefer. And as we make that shift, that's where we get the three-step process really kicked into gear, and stuff starts to manifest, so on and so forth. Well, what you're talking about there is how people are on that second step. They're kind of on the up step, because we've been through a whole bunch of stuff globally, not just here in the U.S., but all around the world, a whole bunch of stuff where people were focused, and to a large degree still are focused, on all the stuff they don't like. But some people are beginning to shift away from that. They're saying, you know what? I'm done with the thing that I don't like. I'm going to go to the thing that I do like.
Because there's more and more people sharing what we talk about.
Mm.
You know, and that and a whole lot more that is all to do with, you know, ascending into this, the energy of love and moving into a whole new dimension.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live through, you know, struggle and the fear and the, you know, and all the wars and the killing and all that, right?
Yeah.
So let's see what the Hidden Realms deck wants to give us.
Okay.
Whatever else we're talking about.
Pull it up. Let's see what we get.
This one is the Spirit Whisperer, Divine Guidance, Higher Knowing.
Aha. Uh-huh. The Spirit Whisperer. That's quite an illustration there.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what that's about. See, that's the thing, too, is that when you're in those higher energies, you can hear your connection. You can make a stronger connection. When you're in the lower energies, you're not vibrating in that higher non-physical energy, because it's mm-hmm. high vibration, right? So what number is that? Number three.
Oh, interesting comment from Jeffrey when we were talking about giving away love. Mm-hmm. He says, I give away love all the time. Sometimes it breaks my heart when I don't feel like I receive it, but he's happy to help with, and he also says he's happy to help with the technical issues. He says, feeling the love and happy to be part of the team. And that's a good thing. And when you say, Jeffrey, that it breaks your heart when you don't feel like you receive it, Linda, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're putting it out there, you're getting it back. It doesn't really matter whether someone else is intending it. It's just coming back anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, so don't be locked into how it is received, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you're not receiving it, then maybe that's just an inside job and you need to give yourself more of that love and not expect it from outside sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Is an inside job. So if you can just hold and know that the more you send it out, like Walt just said, the more it comes in. And if something shows up in the awareness that's like, well, I've been sending love all day. Nobody's giving me any love back. Give it to yourself. And guess what? You'll probably get more love the next day. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say that when you give it to yourself, you're also opening yourself up to the love that's already coming to you. I mean, if you're putting it out there, it is coming back. The question is, are you able to receive it, really? And if you're in some way closed off, then you're not receiving it. It's not getting through to, so to speak. But when you're going through the steps of loving yourself, now you're in receptive mode. You're allowing yourself to receive it, and so that other love is going to get in the tube. It's going to come in both ways.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, do we need to rely on outside things outside of us to give us love?
Mm. We often do.
Well, but the more you can give yourself love and are very self-loving, and you know, then it doesn't matter really what other people are doing.
In fact, I'd say it's the most important skill for us to develop, is being able to develop and receive the love inside and not rely on the outside. That's what all of drama is about. All of drama is about trying to get love, trying to get energy from outside instead of going inside.
You know what I find too, that the more you do that, maybe this is what's helped me. The more you do that and just allow yourself to love yourself, even when you make your mistakes and all that, you know, no longer beating up on yourself, just being kind to yourself, loving to yourself. You really move out of judgment of others.
Really true.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't even really show up that you, to be in a negative sense. Instead, it comes like a compassionate thing. Like I say, when somebody cuts me off, I'm like, oh boy, okay. I hope that guy's okay. And send them love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, let's help them bring their awareness back to where they're driving and not to what's running in their head. Boom, 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 boom. All that subconscious stuff.
I've also found that when I am focusing specifically on a daily basis on giving myself love, which is what I do with my mirror exercises, that's how I start my morning every day, but I also do it in other ways throughout the day, I find now that it's a lot easier when I run into a situation where, in the past, I would have gotten upset about what somebody was saying. You know, it would have turned into some sort of struggle, some sort of fight. Especially if they're saying something where they figure like I'm at fault, or I, you know, didn't do something, or I did something I shouldn't have done, or, you know, whatever it might be. And now I still find myself hearing that old voice, but it doesn't have quite the volume it had before. And because it doesn't have quite the volume, I'm able to kind of sit back and, you know, kind of just kind of brush that one out of the way a little bit. And allow another possibility, like, well, you know, maybe this was just a miscommunication issue, or maybe I'm just making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe there's nothing really here at all. Until finally, there really is nothing there at all, other than, like you say, just the love. And that to me, that's the best thing. When I'm seeing that kind of progress, where I can actually, you know, detect step by step, here's a situation where I would have in the past gone overboard, and now I'm not going overboard and I'm doing it consciously, I start getting excited because now I know I really am getting in control of my own conscious mind.
You know, what that brings up to my mind too, as an example, is that when you're in more of that compassionate, loving space, and then you're in a group of people, maybe you're at some family function or, you know, some work, mm-hmm. and you're hearing the little pockets of, or your friends that are just nattering and complaining about this and that.
Mm.
It's like, it's uncomfortable to even listen to it, you know?
Right.
Totally cannot engage in it,
mm-hmm.
because you're just not of that vibe, you know. You see it, like you'll notice it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But so you really want to notice that you're noticing that, and consciously not let yourself get sucked into it, because that energy is easy to suck you down, right? And then you can go shift your direction to another group of people or somewhere else, you know? I mean, I sometimes will try to put the positive slant on it for the people who are engaged in the conversation, so that I figure, okay, maybe if I add some of that, we can shift it, and they'll all start getting that vibe and move out of that lower vibe that they're all getting sunk into. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I find that humor sometimes helps with that. You know, if I can hear something in what somebody said that I can make a little pun out of or whatever. You know, nothing that's hurtful or not harm-based humor, but just light humor. If I can find some way to insert that, especially if I can get a chuckle out of the people who are engaged in that, that breaks up real fast at that point. Because now it's almost like they've been distracted from this negative slant that they were on just because I threw in the humor.
So I would kind of imagine that most people listening to the podcast kind of already get this and know it and start to see it, even if they weren't really sure what it was, but they
might, oh, yeah.
But they no longer, you know, resonate in certain places that they used to love.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's how you know that you're growing.
Gossiping and nattering about things and people and like really getting into it. And, you know, what happens is the story changes. Like the real story is nothing compared to the blown up one from all the people.
Right.
Nonsense of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. When we break those patterns, it may not seem like much. I know at times it doesn't seem like much, but boy, you kind of sit back and you realize the more those patterns break, the more change happens on a large scale, ways that we can't even see sometimes, but they're happening.
And you know why? Because we're all one.
We're all one. That's right.
Us all ones start lifting ourselves up into this higher vibe, we bring up the rest of the crowd. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's cool. Yeah. That's how you know it's actually working, that this stuff really is effective.
You know what's cool too is like, I name my, I don't know if I said this before, but I call my LLC Pure Love Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this website, because I changed it from Linda-Armstrong.com, for some reason, I had to do it lovemylife.coach. Like, I didn't even know why, and I can't even remember coming up with the name.
Wow.
But they're perfect, because that's everything I do and everything I talk about and everything I work with when I'm working with.
Yeah.
Energy of love. And so it makes perfect sense, but I know there was no thought into it. It's kind of like something I just did.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you have guidance. Like, I can look back at a lot of things, and I can see how, boy, that was totally guided. Like, that's so cool. Thing when you look back, right?
It's always, yeah,
looking back, and like, it makes so much sense now, you know?
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah. No wonder hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah. So this one was upright, the spirit whisperer, divine guidance and higher knowing. So it says, as an ally, the spirit whisperer comes to you heralding the miraculous and the inspired. Guidance from the divine through her higher senses so that you can hear her wisdom and know her love for you. She's committed to helping you intuit the right next action and steers you away from trouble. Thank you.
That's always good.
Yeah, the spirit whisperer keeps you inspired and to move forward, always knowing just in time the correct next step. She guides you to fulfill your highest purpose. When she appears, it's a sign of inspired ideas that with continual action lead to success. That's a very good omen. That's a very good omen. If your question is about a relationship, the spirit whisperer speaks of soul connections, past lives, and great learning through mutual mirroring. She will whisper how long, how short, how deep, and how sweet the relationship can be. There were soul bargains made even before you both were here, and an exploration is in order. So maybe this goes back to that last card, you know? You may move forward, but keep listening to the spirit whisperer for the lessons that the vulnerability of love brings, which could be that broken heart. And both of them, in the second half, we're talking more about relationships of these cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it could just be that internal you loving yourself.
Well, in a sense, that's what it is. I mean, like you just pointed out, we are all one. We are all separate. We are all individual, but we are also all one at the same time. And if we look at it from that perspective, then we realize that a spirit whisperer is also a part of who we are. So it's got to be both. It's got to be an influence that's like another being, and it's also ourselves. It's both.
Well, that's interesting too, because the way one of the things I learned, and I love because it just resonates with me, is that our guides, our spirit, are just extensions of ourselves. Because if we are 100%, only 20% of us is in the physical body, the room out here, right? So, your guides are leading the way. Your higher self is leading you the way, as long as you just allow it to be. So when you're in those higher vibes or in those, if you're more towards those higher energies, it comes through so much easier. You don't even question it. And I think, and a lot of, I mean, I think everything's channeled. I think every single thing is channeled, right?
Okay.
It's just coming through us. Sometimes we're aware, sometimes we're not. In fact, because I was listening to, I guess it was the David Wilcock book, and it's another one of those kind of 100 monkey kind of stories, right? But in this case, there was these scientists, and they're all working on a similar thing. One person broke through it, and all of the other scientists who happened to be working on the same exact project in all these other countries around the world all got the download at the same time, and they all made the same conclusion.
Wow.
At the same time. So where does that come from? This higher knowing, this extended part of us that coordinates it so that the information that is needed on the planet comes down and can be disseminated from all of these people who just tuned in, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure. That's very cool.
I mean, even your own great ideas, you know, like, it's not necessarily the mind figuring it out. It's you just being that channel to get the right information at the right time.
When we talk about the higher self, or like I like to call it, my inner Walt or my inner being, I've often tried to kind of visualize what is that? What does it look like? If I could look at it with my eyes, what would I see? And a lot of the times my mind just boggles at it. But the one thing that I have found consistently resonates, I guess is the best word, it makes the most sense to me, is when I combine that with the concept that we are all connected. And when I think about it that way, then imagining my inner Walt, my non-physical side, that much larger part of me, I see that as being my connection to all the rest of source energy, all the rest of the beings that make up source energy. That's the model that makes the most sense to me. That's how I make sense out of the idea that there's this larger part of me.
Well, that's fun, because when you first started saying that, I was just seeing me as just this bright light, but then I turned like a purple light, and then I was like a rainbow light. It was kind of like, you know, that creative part of me is like, yeah, we can just shape shift into whatever light we want it to be, and let's just include them all.
Mm-hmm.
What popped in my mind too is that, you know, a lot of people will refer to the inner child as your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so wouldn't it be fun to see your inner child as a little mini you? Why not see my inner child, my soul, me, as my physical representation, but teeny tiny, right? It's so powerful, right?
What made you think of that? That's an interesting image.
It just came in, because I guess I always kind of go to that childlike wonder and that fantasy and creative aspect that we all come here with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no trouble letting it go.
Well, the fact that you're referring to it as a childlike quality, I can understand why you would come up with the symbol of a little teeny tiny, because it's kind of symbolic of when we were smaller, we had all this creativity going on.
Also, maybe I guess the visual kind of came in as if I could see myself running around to all different aspects.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you mean?
We all know how much more energy a 2-year-old has than a 32-year-old.
Yeah. Well, how much more they don't doubt anything, right? They're just open book.
Isn't that interesting? It isn't until we get older that we start to doubt things. When we're a kid, there's no doubt. I mean, there's concern at times. It's like, you know, are mommy and daddy going to be around? But most of the time, it's just wonder and go for it and just, you know, let it all hang out.
And it seems to kind of start slowing down at like age 8, because, you know, up until age 8, you're more in that theta brainwave, that really receptive, creative aspect place, that hypnotic place where you're just soaking it all in and everything's wonderful. And then you get into the 8, and at least I know it starts at around 8, where you start realizing that there's other things. The world doesn't... It's false, though, because the world does revolve around us, because we are the world, right? But you start seeing or feeling or being told that you're separate from all of that.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's when you start taking on maybe more when people tell you how to be. So you start...
Oh, yeah.
You start going outside of yourself, like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to be this way because that's wrong. You know, they didn't like it when I did that, the big people. So I better not do that, even though they're falling.
Mm-hmm.
I have to grow all the way up to maybe even 50 to figure out that it's okay to be your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I'm kind of hopeful that those of us who are going through that now or have gone through that and are sharing it with others, I'm hoping we reduce that time span down so people don't have to wait till 50. Maybe they can get it figured out by, you know, 35 or 21 or 18 or something.
No, I think it's already. I know I'm coming across a lot of younger people who are getting this.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's really good. And it's true. I see it also from, people who are on Facebook, but also people who are listeners of our podcast. I just I get excited whenever we hear from one of our listeners. I mean, because I know a lot of people are enjoying the show. I can tell because the numbers are continually going up. So, no, they must be enjoying the show. The numbers wouldn't go up. But also when we get an email or if we get a text message or a Facebook message or something like that, it gives me the warm fuzzies inside that. And invariably, I think probably just because I'm getting up there in years, invariably it's somebody who's younger than I am, you know, and I like that. I mean, to me, that's a way of staying young, just by having that kind of person that we're connecting with. So thank you to our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Doesn't it also open up the possibilities? Like, look, you know, people are getting this. Like,
yeah.
They're getting this. I mean, my son's 27. He knows. He's so tuned in.
You've talked about that.
Maybe influenced because my husband and I are, but he was always that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's true that we pick our parents, maybe that's why he picked you guys.
Yeah. No, it's totally true.
Okay. Because that would certainly validate the whole concept. Yeah. Two parents who are into alternative understandings of spirituality and so forth, and the kid comes in, he's totally lined up with it. Yeah, there's a little choosing going on there, I think.
You know, it's cool too. He's a perfect blend because my husband, although he's very spiritual, is also very mechanical thinking because he likes figuring out how things work. And he can, I call him McGaviner. His name's Gavin. Because, you know, my car breaks down in some town and he finds some wire in the garbage and fixes it so I can get home. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing he can do.
That's cool. That's a nice skill.
Things work. My son is that way, but he's also very creative. Well, I'm a Cancer. My son's a Cancer. He's also in that very creative mind as well. So he's a great blend of both.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he tries to push it down my throat to understand things. Like, I'm never going to understand it, Steele. Stop explaining it.
Yeah. So in other words, he's trying to teach you something that you're not quite ready to absorb yet.
Because he can.
Right? Well, sure.
But I'm like, but Steele, I can. I don't want to.
An honest answer. I like that.
Attention. I can learn everything you tell me about how that engine works, but I don't care.
That's funny. That's really good.
Okay, so let's get a Sonia Choquette Trust Your Vibes Oracle card.
Okay.
Oh, vibe check. It has like a tuning fork.
Vibe check. Okay, time for a vibe check.
Number 30. Hey, let's incorporate into the show every week. We got to do a vibe check.
Vibe check. All right.
Thank you, Sonia. That's fun. We'll incorporate it. Okay, number 30. Oh, look, I passed up Walk It Off. We didn't get that one.
Good. It wasn't the one for us.
Well, we got vibe check. All right, so it says, as a sixth sensory person, she's always talking about that intuitive part because everything with her is all about sixth sensory perception.
Okay.
As a sixth sensory person, it's important that you pay keen attention to the tone and level of vibration surrounding you and seek to remain in good vibes. Start to rate your vibes by how they affect you in all situations on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being positive vibes that leave you feeling energetic, lighthearted, relaxed, and 1 being negative vibes that leave you feeling drained, uneasy, insecure, and not yourself. Scan all situations with a vibe check. That's cool because I do a part of, I wasn't thinking the way she's doing it, but part of this course that I built, and I talk about the vibometer. Vibometer is a vibe check. You just got to know what you are, right?
Okay.
So it says, scan all situations with the vibe check. From the restaurant you enter to your new car you consider buying to a hotel room you pay for, if the vibes feel good, carry on. If not, move to higher ground. You don't have to explain your vibes to trust them. A good vibe is good and a bad vibe is bad. Feeling it is reason enough to trust it. So like some people might doubt, a lot of people doubt it. Like, no, doesn't really feel, no, it's probably okay because this one says it's good, this one says it's good, and then they go with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I hear this so many times, right? And then they wind up, they're like, why did I do that? I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it. Yeah, so trust your vibes. Okay, there's a little bit more. Let's see. Feeling it is reason enough to trust it. Aim to keep your experience at 7 or above on a good vibe scale. And if you're in less than 7 situation and cannot move to higher ground, use other tools in the deck to protect and strengthen your aura until you can.
Mm.
Because the whole deck is teaching you stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, as you were reading the card, I realized I do vibe checks all the time. I just didn't call them that. I didn't realize that there was a name for it. Never occurred to me to try to name it.
She named it her thing. I name it vibometer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do that all the time. And that actually comes out of my desire, born very early on in my study of law of attraction, to kind of monitor what my mood is at any given time, knowing that when my mood is in a good place, that's when I do my best attracting. When my mood is not in a good place, that's when I don't do my best attracting. So I have learned over years to just kind of pay attention. Where am I at? Where am I at? Where am I at? Not realizing what I was doing was checking vibes. But yeah, it makes sense now that you say it that way.
Yeah. Vibe check.
Vibe check. Yes. We have a new term now for the show, vibe check. We'll do a vibe check every Friday. Testing 1, 2, 3, doing a vibe check.
Pretty much doing a vibe check every time we pick cards. Because we're tuning, well, that's not an internal vibe check, but we're checking the vibe, we're picking up on the energy. The cards come out that pick up on the energy of what it is that's in the collective while we're doing our show. And it's always proven because we're talking, card tells us the same thing we just did, right?
That's an interesting thing. Let's explore that a little bit, because when we talk about internal versus external, you know, looking within versus looking without, is looking externally, is that kind of attention connecting with others? Is that what that is?
Say that question again.
When I contrast looking internally with looking externally, when I contrast going within as compared to going out, when I'm going out, is that connecting with others? Is the reaching out connecting with others? My inclination is to say yes, even though I know that if I really want to find everybody, I find them inside. But we do have a tendency to reach outside. I made reference to that earlier. We tend to look outside for answers rather than going inside. And I think it's because we're trying to connect to others by going outside.
I mean, it's interesting because we are all one, right?
Yeah.
And we are love, and love loves love. And so, you know, so the thing is, when you let the things outside there affect how you feel about yourself in here, then there's something that's not in sync, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something out there, I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but something out there is mirroring something for you to actually look at and clear. It's like all experience is good experience because it's just teaching you something or showing you something that you can expand and grow from.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm not really sure what, so your vibe check is always your internal vibe check.
Yeah, it's how I'm feeling. It's just taking a quick emotional temperature, so to speak.
But whether you're just you, and even when you're with the whole group, or you're at this ball field, or this mall, or wherever,
right?
You're still checking. You're still feeling how you feel within it.
Exactly. Yeah, and I do so for the purpose of kind of monitoring. Do I like what's going on? Do I not like? Do I prefer or do I not prefer? Am I enjoying or am I not enjoying? In part because I have a long history of not asking myself that question one way or the other at all, and so not knowing even how I was feeling about something. So that's part of it. But the other is just by being aware of what's going on with me emotionally at any given time, I find it's easier to know where I want to go next, to know what I'm going to prefer next. If I'm finding myself focused on something I really don't prefer, something I really don't like, I can remove my focus from it more quickly just because I have been taking these emotional vibe checks periodically throughout the day. Whereas before, when I didn't do that, trying to move myself off the nut was just, well, it was impossible. I couldn't do it. Does that make sense?
Move yourself into a higher vibe, like being stuck somewhere.
Yeah, I guess ultimately that's what it was. But from my perspective, it just felt like I was stuck on focusing. You see this a lot, people talking about it on Facebook. I can't seem to change my focus. You know, I'm constantly dealing with the same thing that keeps coming in over and over again. And I know it's not right for me, but I don't see how I can change that. How can I change that? know, that's a kind of a generic form of a question you see about 20,000 times on Facebook.
You just, most of what you just said went out, hopefully just for me, and hopefully everybody else heard what you said. Your voice was gone, totally gone.
My voice was gone?
Yeah, you were talking, but I couldn't hear a word. But anyway, I kind of got the idea.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, now I'm wondering what's going on here. we have a definite energy thing going on here, as usual on Fridays.
So what were you saying in the short version?
Let's see if I can get to the short version. The short version is whenever I go make it a practice to go through my day paying attention to how I'm feeling at any given time throughout the day, I find that practice makes it much easier for me to move out of being stuck, what we often call being stuck. Yeah. That it's a stuck place that people often ask questions about on Facebook. It's a place where people are, they'll say the different questions, they'll phrase it in different ways, but it all amounts to the same thing. How can I change this thing that I'm experiencing? Yeah. Feeling like they can't change anything. And what I'm saying is the more that I just do that vibe check, just keep checking in, how am I feeling, how am I feeling, how am I feeling, it's so much easier to move off that spot.
Because, again, they're looking outside for answers that they just need to look within, and it'll show up.
Mm-hmm.
The right person will happen to come in and say something that makes sense, rather than engaging in poor me, I can't figure this out. And then you get all the other people who are poor me, I can't figure this out either. But the thing is, as far as the vibe checks, like she says, you walk into whatever that card says, something about walking into a space. I mean, we do that naturally. I mean, how many times have you, like, walked down a street and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I think I better move to the other side? Not because you saw anything, just because you felt something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let me go sit here on whatever seat it is somewhere. You're like, I think I'll sit over there. It's like, why do we choose? In the restaurant, you're like, you can go here. Which one do you like? You're like, I don't know. What's that one? That one draws you. You don't even realize you're doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
On energy, because energy is leading the way. What we're talking about now is just opening awareness to be able
right.
to feel it, sense it, know it more.
And exactly.
You open your awareness to it, and then you realize for yourself how you have control over it more than you ever thought you did, then you can move through and into energies that you prefer when you're stuck in these older energies.
Right, right.
Needing other people to answer what you wrote on Facebook to fix it for you.
Yes.
Really, the best thing you should do is go see someone like me who can clear the energy that would keep you there so that you can empower yourself to find your own answers.
Because that's it. You have to find the answers internally. We do have this tendency, and I think that's what I was trying to allude to earlier. We have this tendency to look outside of ourselves for answers. And it's a tendency that we are taught to do by our society. We're taught by our teachers, by our parents, by, you know, various adult figures. And so we learn it very well. We're very good at learning our lesson. The problem is it's the wrong lesson. It's not leading us in the right direction. So, but the point is we keep reaching outside for answers, and then we don't understand why is it that every time I reach out for an answer outside, it doesn't turn into the result I'm looking for.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, what came to my mind for some reason, so I'll just say it is, say you're in a bookstore and you want to find a book about a certain topic. There's a gazillion books on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can kind of just feel your way towards the one without even having to read through all of them. You know what I mean? You can guide yourself to the one that's right for you. This is how I shop, because I don't like to shop. I'm not one of those women that like to shop. And if I need to go buy something for someone or even for myself, I'll be in the store and I'm like, oh, I hate this, you know, and I don't feel like trying this on. But so I have this way of just, I'm just like, just show me what I need to get. Of where I just kind of walk to the thing and I'm like, oh, this is good. Okay, let me take it and I'm out of here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do know what you mean because I've experienced it many times.
It's like this internal radar that brings me to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Find it.
Yeah, that internal radar, as you call it, is something that's another advantage to just constantly being alert to, you know, doing the vibe checks periodically throughout the day, because the more that you end up doing that, particularly if you come from a place like I did where I was not aware of what I was feeling at any given time, when you go through that practice and you're doing it regularly so you can always be aware, you can tap into something without even realizing that you're tapping into it. You look at it back later on and you say, well, yeah, that didn't feel right over there, but that felt right over there, so I went over there.
No.
The example that comes to my mind is when Louise and I were on our honeymoon many years ago. We were in Barbados, and we were in downtown Bridgetown, which is the main city on Barbados, and there was a park there right near where the harbor is, and we were going to take a walk in the park. And we start walking to the park, and I got this feeling that to this day I can't describe what it felt like other than to say it felt wrong. It did not feel good at all. And I just stopped. And Louise turned to me and said, what are you stopping for? I said, it doesn't feel right. And fortunately, she's the one who had the presence of mind that says, okay, if it doesn't feel right, we're not going there. And she turned us around. We turned to the right, which was toward the main road, the main highway that was going past us there. And went up to the curb. And as we did that, a cab comes up, driven by the guy who ended up becoming our tour guide for the next couple of days. So to this day, we aren't sure, was it spirit guiding us over to where the tour guide was, or was it spirit guiding us away from something that we didn't like in the park? I don't know what it was, but it was something.
Yeah, I'll tell you two stories if we have time. One is more serious. I remember when I was living in California, and my son was like an infant, under a year, because we moved when he was a year, back to New Jersey. And so I got him in the stroller, and I'm actually walking behind, like, they have a lot of strip malls there, but there's all the residential area behind it. Anyway, I'm walking down this road, and there is a driveway to the back of this strip mall. And if I were not aware, I think my child would have been abducted.
Wow.
I was walking, and this car came up, and I just felt this energy off this guy. Now, luckily, I am a martial artist. I knew not to be afraid and whatever. So, and I had to go across this thing. He stopped there for me. Like, he could have just got out and take, I felt like he was going to do something to me or my son, right? But rather than get freaked out and try to run away, which could have made it worse, I just stood there and I looked at this guy. And I walked and I looked at this guy the whole time. I passed him and I got to the other side and I staring at him, waiting for him to go, right? I can do that though. I have this way of like sending those daggers out of my eyeball. So I'm on to it. Okay? So,
don't mess with the mama bear. Just don't do it.
I knew. I don't know how I knew. This was before I even got into this. This is, you know, this is 28 years ago. Before I got into any of this stuff. But that intuition is there. You know it. I knew that I just had to keep my eye on this guy and let him know I am not your target. And that's and so I know that that saved me in that point. I can't prove it, but I just know it.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Because when you have that kind of energy, I mean, predators know the energy level. They probably don't describe it that way to themselves, but they know the energy level of the people that they're victimizing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's low-hanging fruit is what it amounts to. You know, you were much too difficult. There was no way he was going to mess with you.
And, you know, besides the intuitive part, my martial arts training let me know that too, right? I'm not anybody's victim, right? I have confidence. I don't care how big you are. I have confidence.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So anyway. But the other one that's more fun is I call it, I have two large dogs, as you know, and I have like almost 2-acre lot of land around my house. And one dog, great, always kind of goes in the same area, right? Mm-hmm. The other dog will go anywhere. So I use my poop dar. That's what I call it. Poop dar. I'm telling you, it works every time. It works every time. And I'm like, I don't feel like looking for these things. I'm like, listen, just take me wherever it is. And I just walk and boom, there it is. I'm serious. Now, where do I go now? And boom, found another one. Yeah. It's dark. It's a real thing.
Oh, that's funny. I had never heard that one before.
Bottled up, so I can't make money off of it. But try it.
Yeah, well, I'll recommend that one to anyone who's a dog owner. I don't have a dog, so it's not particularly practical for me to follow my cat around for that, but that's cute. I hadn't heard that one before. So on that happy note, we will bid everybody adieu. Thank you very much, Linda, for joining us. It's good to have you back again. And thank you also to our live stream listeners. Before we go, also tell people where they find Linda Armstrong, the life coach.
LoveMyLife.coach. That's
there it is. Very simple. All right. So thank you very much. Thanks to our podcast listeners. Thank you, Jeffrey, too, for sharing the good stuff that you shared as well. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.